Today's March 16th, 2025. Current Bitcoin price is $82,980.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, you know, just doing as well as Bitcoin, slowly bleeding out.
Slowly bleeding out. Go ahead. Yeah, expound on that a little bit.
Well, I'll just to take you down a trip down memory lane. I mean, our Bitcoin price now at 82,000. I mean, we only record the Bitcoin price when we're doing episodes, but we haven't been this low since basically right after the election. I think it was November 6th we recorded, and it was like 75,000. But at the time, that was basically a new all-time high.
Right.
And then the next episode we did the week after, it got up to 88,840. And it, you know, that's been, it progressed up over 100,000 after that for us. And now it's 82,000. So obviously the theoreticals have fallen a bit. First theoretical purchase back in October 2023. Put $3,000 down, that could have bought you 0.0885 Bitcoin. And that value is still doing well. It's 7,344. Second theoretical purchase right at the halving almost a year ago. I mean, it's 11 months ago, basically. If you would have put $1,000 down, Bitcoin price is 64,000 basically at the time. You would have got 0.01564 Bitcoin. And right now you're sitting on $1,298. So you're still positive, you're just not doing as well as previously.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster, to say the least. I mean, we saw, you know, what we were looking at, it was 109,000 right around when Trump got sworn in.
Yeah, on inauguration day, January 20th.
And then ever since then, we've kind of had I wouldn't say necessarily a slow grind, but I guess it's been kind of a slow grind down. It's been kind of, it's painful to watch. I mean, there's been a lot of speculation and things going on. And we were kind of, before we got going, we were talking about, you know, where's the fear and greed index? And right now, fear and greed index is sitting at 24. It was lower on the 10th. It looks like it was actually a score of 15. So, I mean, there's a lot of fear in the market right now. It's wild times, man. Like, and this is on, you know, a pro crypto cabinet and leadership in the White House. And then all this stuff is still going on. When we look at the ETF flows, we pulled that up and it looks like basically from February 25th to March 14th, there's been 3.9 billion worth of outflows on that chart.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah, we were commenting kind of before we got going, like right now, iBit actually looks a lot like Grayscale once iBit launched, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, they were actually putting Grayscale to shame because they have a lot more to draw from now, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of turmoil going on before we go into some of the other stuff. What are your thoughts? Like, I mean, within the macro sphere, looking at, you know, tariffs and trading, I mean, how much of that do you think is affecting Bitcoin? But then at the same time, we saw something in reverse with gold, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, gold got to $3,000. First time it crossed that this week. And so, I mean, that's kind of the risk off asset. People are jumping into that because there is just a ton of fear in the markets in general. And it basically boils down to the Trump trade wars or potential trade wars that we're going to start engaging in. And it's kind of hard to tell how things are going to play out, but trade wars are going to be pretty bad for basically everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be paying higher prices because they're basically paying taxes for anything that comes in. And, you know, that's the thing with trade wars too, is people start retaliating, countries start retaliating against each other. Oh yeah, you're going to tax this. Well, we're going to tax this, which we buy a lot of from you guys. And so there you go. And all these weird industries just get caught up in the crossfire and they didn't even do anything, but that's kind of how the cookie crumbles, basically.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you know, as much as people will be like, why are you guys talking about the tariffs and stuff like that? Well, in all honesty, though, like, globalist type views have really hollowed out the manufacturing in the United States. And a lot of that is still tied to the United States' dominance as the, you know, reserve currency of the world.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it
makes us, it makes U.S. labor the most expensive labor in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that's all part of the reason why, I mean, weaponizing your currency, all those things, they can really be negative for your country in the long haul. I was listening to Lynn Alden's Broken Money over my travels recently. And, you know, we've talked about it before where, you know, the United States economy really is kind of like a junkie looking for the current injection all the time of the money printers, you know, and how much that's hurt us. Lynn Alden actually kind of compared it to being a boxer that right now is, well, I won't say right now, but has been in the past immutable to pain, or, you know, it doesn't really feel pain that happens to it until it gets to a certain point. And then they have to realize the amount of damage that's been done from all the blows that they've taken. And I think that's kind of a big thing of what we're starting to see. And that's what I think Trump is trying to correct in some regard.
Yeah.
Is that...
Well,
go ahead.
I do think he is trying to bring manufacturing back to the United States. It's kind of crazy nowadays. Like, if you look at all the vehicles that are manufactured or that are sold in America, it doesn't matter which dealership you're going to, even Toyota, Chevy, Hyundai, they're all being made in Mexico now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I mean, that's
just one example.
Tesla is the only thing I can think of that gets manufactured here in the States.
Pretty much.
And I don't know if they do. I don't know if they're handling all their raw material. I doubt they're handling all their raw material manufacturing, but I know they're doing their assembly here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't know if they're making the motors or the batteries. Obviously, the batteries probably not. I could be wrong.
Probably not. Well, probably not.
So it's kind of crazy to see, you know, that hollowed out manufacturing part of the United States has been completely gutted. And so, I mean, yeah, the tariffs are going to affect us, but then it'll affect the other countries too, because we'll be less likely to want to buy imported products. But at the same time, what do we manufacture here that we're not going to have to buy from someone else?
Yeah. I mean, we're not getting the raw materials from here.
Mm-mm.
I mean, mining is one of those things that's just impossible to open up a new mine in America. There's way too many regulations. So, yeah, raw materials are definitely not coming from America.
Yeah, and I want to say it was like a little bit over a year ago. I remember they found a large supply or a large deposit of rare earth metals here in the States. But they were talking about how it's going to take at least 5 to 10 years to actually get that mine going because of all the regulations that are in place.
Yep. So, yeah, that's true. I don't know. There's the reason that America's in its situation is it's not just one thing. It's multiple things.
Yeah.
And I don't know if trade wars are going to necessarily get us out of it.
No.
Unless maybe Trump can use that to force an agenda of, hey, we don't have these materials coming in now. So regulators, you need to cut back, or I don't know. Maybe that's a game he's playing. I have no idea.
Yeah. And I hate to throw this out there too, but then I was kind of talking to you before, and I'm sure other people have heard it as well, is that he's trying to wreck, and I don't want to say wreck, but he's trying to get the stock markets and everything else to go down. So that way the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates. That way when they have to go refinance the national debt, they get a lower interest rate than what it's currently at.
You know, and I kind of do believe that when you refinance the debt, and we're nearing $36 trillion of debt now. So every basis point in that debt counts.
Yeah.
I mean, our debt now surpasses everything as a line item budget. I mean, it's even larger than our military, which is insane to begin with.
Yeah, because our military budget, defense budget, is huge.
It's basically, I think it's now to basically $1 trillion a year. So I think the debt is $1 trillion a year, if not higher now. Then that's just servicing the debt. That's not paying it down.
Right. Yeah. It's wild times for sure. Like I said, I never thought I would be seeing all this kind of turmoil within the crypto space. You know, Peter Schiff, I'm sure, like you were talking about earlier with gold, I'm sure he's doing laps, slapping himself on the back for being such a wise trader.
Laps and cartwheels and all sorts of things. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had CPI finally came out for the month of February. And actually, it came in lower. Were you surprised by the number?
No.
No?
No. The reason I say that is it's kind of a sign that a market's kind of cooling off.
Yeah.
And I've been watching, there's a website called Trueflation. I should have mentioned this to you earlier, Hans. But they're a little bit more real time in their inflation, and they're actually showing inflation going towards zero.
Really?
Like it's not there yet, but it's on its way down.
So it'd be looking at like stagflation is what they call that, right?
Yes.
You know, and inflation gets such a bad rap. I mean, obviously it is bad, but I mean deflation gets a bad rap is where I was kind of going with that.
Yep.
When you talk about technology and production increasing, like that does trend towards lower prices most of the time.
At least growing your economy means you can build things cheaper.
Right.
So prices should go down naturally.
And, you know, it's kind of interesting because when you look at what the, you know, Jerome Powell and those folks will do, if they don't see the, you know, their target of 2%, if they don't see that, then they even get angry if it's below that. Because otherwise your GDP doesn't grow, right?
Right.
And that's, you know, that's been our bellwether for the longest time. And that's something it's naturally supposed to get cheaper. And we have been fighting that for a very long time. And I think it's just going to compound as technology continues to advance.
I think so. Well, I think one of the greatest evils that we have is counting government spending in GDP. And
you can grow that government.
People would be able to you grow the government, and then you're growing the economy by the numbers. And I think that's basically kind of whatever growth we saw from Biden was the administrative state. It had nothing to do with the economy. The economy is suffering, and it has been suffering for years. Now, let's say, I don't know how much success Doge is going to have. I mean, they've had some wins. It's been interesting to see where some of the money is going. But if they were really serious about balancing the budget, which they're not. They just passed a bill that they're going to still have a $6 trillion per year government spending this year, while tax receipts are expected to be somewhere around $4 trillion. So to balance that, they really need to cut $2 trillion off of the current budget. And I just don't see them doing that. And I don't know. Things are just going to be interesting.
Yeah, I you know, the national debt clock, like when you look at that and you see the Doge thing, like I still would like to see receipts on that. Like, what have they actually been able to cut? Because it shows, you know, shows that they've been able to do some work, but at the same time, right now they're showing $208 billion that they've saved through Doge and climbing, but it's like, well, what is that? But is that real numbers? Like, honest
to God? Well, I mean, that's a nice little start, but you've got to get up to $2 trillion. So how far away are you from that?
Well, they're not even at half a trillion yet. Like, they've got to do that 10 times more.
Yeah, they got to basically
connect
that.
Yeah. They've got quite a ways to go with that. I mean, given it's only been, what, almost 2 months?
Yeah.
And realistically speaking, and I know we've talked about some of this before, or maybe we haven't, but I mean, realistically speaking, Trump's got to get as much done as he can within the first 18 months of his administration. Because more than likely at midterms, he's going to lose the control that he has currently within the Senate and the Congress.
Well, that's basically been the pattern for over 30 years now.
Yeah.
the new president comes in, and then Congress usually flips to the other side. The only thing that makes me think that it couldn't, that may not happen is, I don't know, just looking politically, the Democrats look absolutely insane right now.
Yeah. No, they're rudderless, man. They have no leader.
No, they have no leader. Their leadership is completely destroyed. I don't know what they have. And they've still clung to the worst, the most extreme parts of their messaging, especially some of the more, you know, gender stuff and a lot of losing messages with the general public. And they've not let go of that. And they're doubling down. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting midterm, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And I think it'll be kind of interesting to see too, talking about, you know, the price of Bitcoin. And like if interest rates start to go down, then that means printers are going to be coming online regardless.
Yeah.
Right now, US M2 money supply, it looks like it's sitting at, is that trillion, 21 trillion? And is increasing right now. And there's usually typically a lagging indicator behind the money supply as it increases to the Bitcoin price reflecting that. It's usually, I think, 75 days. I think was that Moss that was saying that?
Yeah, that's where we first heard it.
So, I mean, ultimately, I don't know. And then I still wonder, like, the $5,000 Doge checks or whatever, like, that to me, like, I don't know, like, to me, that scares me because I think that'll cause inflation also.
Yeah, no, we talked about that the last episode. I mean, that's basically what really kickstarted the inflation, is giving people directly in their bank accounts money.
Mm-hmm.
In 2021. And, you know, it's one of the first things Biden did, and then inflation just went off to the races and people couldn't put together two and two together. What happened there? Oh yeah, people were given money. It's not just the expansion of money that causes inflation, it's also the velocity of money.
Yeah.
And I mean, you give it to the people, especially if they're in not great shape financially, they're going to be spending it like crazy.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's one of the things that's interesting too, because you think about that from the 2008 debt crisis, right? The housing crisis that took place, mm-hmm. That money didn't go directly to consumers. And so therefore the inflation wasn't like what we saw with this stimulus checks that came out.
Yeah. Well, we saw a lot of inflation in assets. So it's pretty wicked because a lot of that money was going to the wealthiest people. And mm-hmm. The wealthiest people usually own assets, stocks, you know, properties, all that kind of stuff. And so most of that inflation went towards those things, which priced out a lot of the younger generation now from ever looking to buy something. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty evil thing, too. We just didn't see it at the grocery store nearly as well until this last round in 2021.
Yeah. And it all has to go back to the velocity of that money. And I think it's just because the wealthy didn't have to spend it. They didn't. They bought assets. So those went up. And we got screwed in the process, basically. Or at least the younger generation especially did, because they weren't already in the housing market. Although I wasn't even in the housing market at the time when that happened.
Same here.
So, yeah. And then this time, like, we saw the K recovery, you know, from COVID in 2019, 2020. We saw that K recovery take place. And of course, we knew the assets, when they started to rebound as quickly as they did and everything was shut down, we knew that there was something wrong there, right?
Right.
Because nobody was making money, like, but the stock market rebounded in such a way that it was like, oh yeah, everything's fine, but nobody was buying anything. Nobody was doing anything other than people were working remotely, that kind of thing. But a lot of small businesses didn't survive it. It's kind of interesting just where this is all going to head. And I don't know what the ultimate plan is or when the tariffs stop or anything like that. And I know we ended up going off the rails of what we were going to initially discuss, but looking at the pricing on Bitcoin, it brought up an interesting question, you know, like, when is this bull market over? And you had some thoughts on that. What were you kind of thinking there?
Well, I'm just thinking that there's some signs that are showing, you know, depending on how much further Bitcoin goes down, it can get stuck. They call it the Gaussian channel. Once it usually enters that, that's when it starts going down. And that level becomes its resistance on the top instead of support. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of wondering, you know, are we looking at potentially an early end of the bull market? Usually we have, if you look at like the Bitcoin cycles and you put it on like the 6 month candles, there's usually a couple of downturns at the when it goes into winter, and then there's like this bullish divergence, and then they have four candles, so that's 2 years of the bull cycle, and then it tops, and then it starts going into bearish divergence. And right now, to create that four sticks or that last candle, we're in it right now of the positive. So this would be way early for a normal cycle. So I've, I still hold a hope that there's going to be, we're going to go to a higher candle, because right now, if you look at the Bitcoin candles, we went down. This one's going negative, which is the first time that it's done that.
So it's we've seen 30% drawdowns in a Bitcoin bull market before, right? However, there's a lot of different macro events that are taking place this time that are a little bit different, I think. And I don't know. I don't want to call it the bottom yet, you know, or that that was the top. Just it doesn't seem like that was a very good top if that was. Like it was a very I don't know how you'd
It
put
was
it.
somewhat lack it was somewhat lackluster.
Yeah, totally. So I don't think we're done, but at the same time, it all kind of depends on you know, kind of everything else that takes place, like you were talking about with the macro environment, with the trade war and everything else. Because we saw our full 30% drawdown, because if we looked at the 109,000 as being the top, we got down to the, I think that 76,000 range is what we were talking about kind of before we started recording. So that's 76,300 would have been basically a 30% drawdown. If we continue to go down again from here, like, I mean, if we get below that probably 76.3, where we get to maybe 40, 50% correction from the high, maybe that was the top. But I feel like that's too soon, especially because, you know, you've been in the cycles a few times now. I've been in the cycles a few times. This isn't uncommon, but everything else that's going on is uncommon.
Right. And if we are going into an economic downturn, I mean, gold is doing great because that is the risk-off asset. Bitcoin, I think, will eventually get to that status. It's just not there yet. It's still risky. So.
I think it'll get there at a certain point. But the price of Bitcoin is going to be much, much higher than what it is currently. I'm sure we're going to be looking at multi millions dollars of Bitcoin whenever it gets to that point.
Right.
You know, and that's when the ebbs and flows of the fluctuations will be so minute. Like at that point, you're not going to really be making money off Bitcoin other than if you already had it.
No, at that point, you're not even really getting into the market.
No, yeah, you're buying such a small fraction of sats at that point. Like, yeah, and it would be a savings account at that point. Which, I mean, it's not bad. It'll be a solid way to keep your money going, but yeah. I don't know. But that's a few years down the road. I think that's, you know, we're looking at, when do you think, honestly, Bitcoin would hit a million? 2030?
Well, if we're looking at the usual cycle, what the 2028, so maybe 2029, 2030, maybe. But that's also assuming that there's a lot of governments that are openly accumulating Bitcoin. All of them have strategic reserves. I know that's the thing. Once that happens, it's going to be off to the races on the price.
If we saw the Loomis bill, if we see the Texas Strategic Reserve, like an update on that, I haven't seen anything more recent on that. Utah sounds like they killed the Strategic Reserve on their side of it. Like they're allowing people to self-custody, they're allowing people to mine and to run a node, and I think to pay taxes with Bitcoin, but they cut out the Strategic Reserve part for Utah, which was kind of disappointing. So if Texas is able to get it across the goal line, that's the eighth largest economy in the world, just Texas alone. So if they can get that across the goal line, that'll be a good thing. If we start to see Loomis's bill, kind of introduce a real plan to actually get the United States to buy 1 million Bitcoin within the next 5 years. That'll definitely do something to the price. And then, of course, we'll see other major players start to chime in at that point as well. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy times. And one of the things that kind of has gotten blown up on X lately is there's this guy by the name of Josh Mandel. And I kind of wanted to bring this up to you just because it was kind of interesting. This guy posted this back on November 5th of 2024. And should I read the whole poem?
Sure.
Forgive me if I read this incorrectly. Maybe he's not a very good poet. Like I said, so he wrote this November 5th, 2024. And he says, when 84 becomes the base, Bitcoin calls will melt their face. This is how you get ahead. Buy IBIT calls in size instead. 10-to-1, you'll write it up. The stock it soars into the skies. Then sell the call and exercise. See the path of Pistol Pete. Try a slug and then repeat. Look at every day at close and lows when 84 is on the dot. The car will launch. A real whole shot. Feel the G's, hear the roar. The coin won't stop, 360 more. A trio of fours times a grand, that's the top. The BTC fades. This is how a cowboy trades. A nation state down by the sea, I think I'd call it empathy. No room for hate nor jealousy. Essentials, they would be on me. Work if you want, but just for fun. Think in the shade, play in the sun. And the thing that's kind of amazing about this is he has March 14th, 2025 as a date that's key within this. And Bitcoin was at $84,000 that day.
Yep. And he did mention 84K.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of when he says that when 84 is on the dot, the car will launch. The real whole shot. And another thing that could be related to that on the 314, he calls it on the dot. But if you look at the dot was also could be referencing the 314, which is Pi Day,
yeah,
for the circle. So, yeah, he mentioned that. And this poem was published when again?
November 5th of 2024.
So he called that out, you know, 4 months in advance. And he's saying, I mean, it's just an interesting thing. I don't, maybe he has some inside knowledge we don't have, but he says the car will launch, the real whole shot, feel the G's, hear the roar, the coin won't stop, 360 more.
So, and that's an interesting one because 360 more, is he talking about 360 more days of a bull run?
No, I think he's 360 more grand because that's feel the G's. So
but then he goes into a trio of fours times a grand. So that's the 444,000 he's talking about there, right?
Yeah, the trio of fours times a grand. Yeah, so if you take your 84 and you add another 360, you come up with 444, and that's what he says the top is going to be.
Yeah.
Then Bitcoin fades.
And then we go into winter.
Yep.
Again. Which, I don't know, like, the odds on him calling the 84 and then having March 14th on there, that's pretty good.
Yep. No, that's interesting. I mean, now let's see if Nostradamus can get to the 444. I'm not exactly betting everything on that, but it's just an interesting, the fact that he nailed that part of it, I wouldn't say it gives me hope, but it's just interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah. I mean, you can't give, he's got 1 point, right? Like he doesn't have a line yet.
No.
He gets this guy's 444. If we get to 444,000 and then Bitcoin, that's the blow off top, then it'd be like, he's got 2 points. You know, you got a line at that point. Right now he's got a dot.
Well, he's got a dot. So we'll see. We'll see what he has. And this guy's name is Josh Mann.
Yeah.
Our symbol is at Josh, MANDELL6. So Josh Mandel 6. So give him a follow if you like that.
Yeah, it looks like apparently on his bio, it looks like he worked for Salomon Brothers from 90 to 98. Bond portfolio analysis, government desk, long bond trader. derivatives short dated options trading head, and Caxton Associates hedge fund. And he's got
so
a
he's
crazy
been around a while.
Yeah, he's got a crazy looking El Camino, it looks like, with a camper shell with the Bitcoin logo on the side on his profile picture. So I don't know, man. It's interesting. I mean, it's, I guess, a little bit of hopium for the market to see kind of something like that. And yeah, I mean, we are playing a different game, I think, this cycle than what we have ever had before.
Yep. No, things are always interesting. It's never boring and it's never a straight shot up. So
yeah,
we've warned people and I'm here for the ride.
I am too. And I mean, the 100,000 thing, like, I was glad to see that. I don't think that's the top, but it's just too weird with the macro environment. Trump causes so much chaos around the globe that it's hard to tell. Do you think he's hurting Bitcoin at this point?
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Indeed. Anything else you wanted to add today?
That's it for me.
So if you're out there in the market and you're holding strong, keep hodling. I mean, I saw a post the other day. Somebody said, well, I bought it at 109,000. And they said, if I get below 80,000, I should sell. It's like, why? Why take the loss? If you're buying Bitcoin, hold for a minimum of at least 4 years. That's what you got to do.
Minimum.
You know, don't think it's going to be a short-term flip. Don't do that. So if you're already in the market and you've been in it for a while, I'm sure those of you will continue to hodl. But those of you that may have just bought recently, especially at the tops, don't sell. You need to do more research into Bitcoin if you feel that urge, in my opinion.
Yep. And then, but most people, the wisest thing to do is to buy before the bull run takes off. And the best time to buy is when fear is at its maximum, but then there is absolute blood on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the price in this last cycle go from 69,000 all the way down to 15.
Yep.
And the 15 was the FTX collapse and kind of the chaos that it created. But that was the perfect time to buy. I mean, if you bought at 15, if you're sitting at 84, you have no incentive to sell.
No, absolutely not. And yeah, I completely agree. So just be patient. That's what I can tell you. And if you do get scared by the market, step away from it for a little bit and come back later. And if you haven't bought in, now may not be a bad time to buy. If you haven't, you know, if you thought about getting into Bitcoin, you have not put money in yet. Now might be a good time to buy, especially with the way the fear index is showing. But at the same time, I could be completely wrong, and this is not financial advice. So you could buy, and more than likely when you buy, it's going to go down anyway. So just be ready for that.
Right.
All right, man. Anything else you want to add?
That's it for me.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening, and we will talk to you all soon.
Bye.